This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
All right, 888-957-9570. Let's take some calls, and we're going to have info real soon here on the tickets to tomorrow night's Warriors game. And Steve Kerr in an hour. Ryan in Irvine on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. You know, listening to this conversation, I had another point, but here's what I was thinking. So maybe this is bigger than just yesterday for Debo. I mean, think about Jake Moody. Since Jake Moody's been with the Niners, I know you just said that he's been a really good specialist. Has he? Has he been a really good specialist?
Ryan, I don't know who said that. I would argue no. He has not been a really good specialist. He's been okay.
No, you said he's been a really good specialist. Maybe not yesterday, but he has been a good specialist.
Yeah, I mean, so far this year, I was referring to this year. He had one other miss, I think, right? But anyway, go ahead, Ryan.
So here's my point. They use a third-round draft pick on this kid. There's several things at play here. He has had some high-profile misses. He's cost them games. He was shaky in the playoffs. And it's always been about his mentality, not his physicality. The kid can boot it, I mean, over the stadium. He's got a leg on him. He's just a head case. And I think Debo's personality mixed with Jake Moody's personality, I mean, look at him. He doesn't show any emotion. And I think that's why Debo kind of got fiery yesterday with him. Here's what I didn't like, though. Peppers, yesterday in the he was interviewed after. He aired out all the dirty laundry. I know the media's, you know, their job is to ask the questions. He doesn't have to answer them. He just spilled it all out, exactly what was said, what Debo said, how he responded, everything. And then here's how it ends. He says, well, have you guys talked about it? Have you guys squashed it? He goes, there's a lot of people in here. It's kind of hard to get over to them. Maybe later. It's like, what is going on in this locker room? I don't know. Someone said earlier that there's been some weird stuff going on with this team in the locker room. You know, whatever it is, the Super Bowl hangover. There's just some personalities in this locker room this year that it's just something's up.
Ryan, thanks. Maybe. I more read that. I don't know what you think, Dibs. I more read that as just like you cut the tension with a knife with this team right now. There's a lot of pressure on this team, and they've had a lot of crap go the wrong way. And some of it is their fault, and some of it is not. You know, there's a McCaffrey injury. There's holdouts. Somebody got shot in August. You lost the Super Bowl. You've blown a couple of late leads. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on that will cause things to bubble over. And then you come out of a bye when this team is used to being like, okay, now we're going to put our best foot forward and McCaffrey's back and let's ride. And it felt in that moment like another winning performance was slipping away. So again, I'm not excusing it. I think there are aspects of this that are on Debo. He obviously overstepped the bounds, but I don't think that what he did is on the surface without knowing exactly what was said. I don't think it's that rare. I don't think it's that offensive either. I don't know. Maybe it helped. Maybe it helped wake Jake up. and focus him. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that from Jake before I jump to that conclusion. And I do think the caller is kind of right about, you know, Jake Moody. He doesn't show a lot of emotion, either joyous or sad. And I would disagree with his assertion that he hasn't been very good. He had 2 field goals over 50 yards in the Super Bowl. He kicked 3 field goals in the Super Bowl, so he was pretty good in that game. And I know we all want to look at the game that he cost us last year against Cleveland. He
missed an extra point in the Super Bowl, too.
Sure, yeah. But, you know, 10 points. He made 3 field goals and a PAT.
I judge a kicker based on how I feel when he's lining up. And when he lines up, I'm nervous. Jake Moody is not bad, but he's not good. He is not like, I mean, there are too many kickers in this league right now where, and you said this earlier, like, they're automatic. They're automatic. There's too many kickers in this league that when they line up, you're like, that's good. That's good. And that doesn't mean they always are. You know, the Texans guy had kind of a wobbly snap and he missed a 50. Kaimi Fairbairn. He missed a 58-yarder at the end of regulation.
Gross.
And that's a 58-yarder. So that's a little bit different. But when that guy lines up, dude, it's right down Broadway. And there's too many of those guys in the NFL. And Jake Moody's not one of them. He's not bad, but he's not good.
Who do you guys think is the best kicker in the NFL right now?
Oh, God.
It's Brandon Aubrey.
Yeah,
I would say from Dallas.
Undrafted free agent the same year Jake Moody was drafted when the Niners traded up to pick him in the third round.
But what's Aubrey's percentage right now?
For this year?
Because this kid Bates with Detroit hasn't missed yet, right?
Perfect. He's perfect. He 14 for 14. Chris Boswell's missed once.
Boswell's awesome.
Group is 18 for 19. Chase McLaughlin is 16 to 17. You know, Aubrey's missed twice.
You know who's not anymore is Tucker. He's clearly, like, with Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. He's having a bad year. He might be done.
He might be. But I don't think Jake Moody stinks, but he's not great.
But he missed once going into yesterday.
Right.
So,
but I'm going through the whole 2 years.
I get it. He was 85% last year.
Yeah. But he does, in big moments, it gets more wobbly. And he doesn't often split the uprights. He tucks it in here and he tucks it in there.
Good is good.
He's okay.
Doesn't matter.
He's okay. That's what I would say about Jake Moody.
So if he is just okay and you're his teammate, do you think that, I don't know, going onto the field to berate him, is that going to help him?
I don't know.
Just as a human being, do you think that is more likely to be productive or destructive? I think it's pretty easy for me to say. Honestly, the majority of human beings would, in that moment, not take that as, hey, you know what? Debo came out here and berated me. That's going to make me feel like I want to make the next kick.
I don't think that's the question. This is the National Football League. We're not here to make everybody feel good.
No, but when you have a spot on the team that is very, very mental, it's probably the second most mental spot in all of football.
No doubt.
Outside of the quarterback. And this is how you're going to go about trying to get him to play better?
Listen, again, Debo has already admitted this is an emotional outburst and didn't necessarily go exactly the way he wanted. I'm not fully excusing the behavior. I'm leaving open for the possibility that this actually wasn't just a complete net negative. We're not here to make everyone feel good. And that's not the National Football League. And we're certainly not here to be like, we have to be calm and nice with everyone all the time. That's not how we parent. That's not how we coach. That's not how we teammate. That's not how any of us here in this building do it. And our business is nowhere near as emotional as theirs. The most emotionally driven business I've ever worked in, where you can get yelled at in the middle of it, is a restaurant. And yes, if you mess up a bunch of times in a row, and not just the boss, but the waiter next to you, who you took his food and gave it to someone, like, you're gonna get barked at. And I know,
that helps you for the next table.
It's not about helping.
That's exactly what it's about.
It's not about that.
It's like, about you making this player, and it's not Debo's job to step in and tell Jake Moody what he needs to do.
Yes, it is.
He's really not.
He's a leader on the team.
And I can't believe you're defending this.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you that he's overly emotional, but there's a middle ground here. Like, are we literally saying that if anybody is ever terse with anyone, it's like, yo.
This is not terse. This is going onto the field to berate a guy after he's at the lowest point of his day.
This crowd.
He knows he just missed a third field goal.
This fan base that has yelled at me for 3 years about the word accountability. Accountability.
Well, Jake's accountable.
Is he?
And is Debo the one to hold his feet to the fire? No, he's not.
Why do you say that?
Because he doesn't hold anyone else's feet to the fire.
You don't know
Yes,
that.
I do know
How?
That. Because you've never seen him go on the field and do that to any other player. You've never seen it. Show me an example where Debo's gone up to Trent or Brandon Ayuk, who had back-to-back drops.
You don't know what he said to Brandon.
You wouldn't go up to Brandon after he dropped the pass in the end zone. Debo march out there and say, dude, catch the ball.
We need
to score.
You don't know.
I do know.
You don't.
Because we haven't seen it.
No, because you wouldn't have seen this.
Because Brandon would have clapped back at him and
No, he wouldn't have.
I gotta take it from that.
No, you don't know.
You do know.
Just say it. No. You don't know.
You know what I do know?
You're not in the
room. You
know
what I do know?
You're
not is a kicker the... missed a kick and the wide receiver came off the sideline to berate the kicker after he missed a third field goal. That's what I know. I know what I saw, and what I saw was completely unreasonable and out of line.
Say I've never been in the wide receiver room. I've never been privy to a conversation between Debo and Brandon. I have no idea what the leadership structure is in the 49er locker room. And say we have no idea if we would have seen this if Tabor Pepper didn't freak out. Those are all facts.
We saw it.
Facts.
And it happened. So you can defend it all you want. And you want to defend it?
Right.
You can defend it because it's football and this is what football guys do.
I'm not defending that. I'm defending it from what you're saying, which is that you know things that you don't know.
What I know is we've never seen it before.
And because you often don't, because these things happen all the time.
We've never seen it. That's all I'm saying.
Because you can't see people talking to each other on the sideline. You can't see that. It just happens. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. We got the tickets to tomorrow night's game. We're giving them away in the next segment. We'll do Grandy's grades. I know a lot of people want to weigh in. We'll do that. Steve Kerr, top of the hour, Willard and Dibs.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On 95.7 The Game.
That little Tom chuckle. Burkhardt's like, he's dead! Tom's just like,
Kick is up and in! And up and through! It's good! The 49ers win it!
That was a little chuckle from Tom on Fox. And, I don't know that I've ever hugged my kids so tight as when that one went through.
Yeah?
We grinded yesterday as a group.
That's big.
We grinded.
It was a tough one.
This is a 2TV Tuesday. I know it wasn't a Tuesday, but Sunday doesn't start with T, so I like to call it a 2TV Tuesday. All day long. You got the 10 a.m. Niner game. Pair that with Red Zone.
Yep.
Then go get some fresh air while the dumb 1 o'clock games are happening, like the Cowboys are out there messing around. I hear Trey Lance is in the game. I go watch that. But then get back for the double action of Sunday Night Football and the Warriors kicking the teeth out of the Thunder, at least for 3.5 quarters. It was a good day.
Great day.
But it was exhausting.
Tiring. The Niner game didn't have to be like that.
No, it didn't.
They should have. I mean, you look at the numbers, the stats, and the way the game went, that was should have been a two-touchdown win, and it would have been three in a row for me and Fade the Dibber, but instead, all you faders, pay out. Pays again.
We'll fade the Dibbers again here before the end of the hour. We'll give away two tickets tomorrow night.
Reluctantly.
We want to go to the phones after the spirited Debo and Jake Moody conversation. But listen to what Kyle Shanahan said on the conference call today with regard to all of this. We think you will find this very interesting. All right, so here is Shanahan on if he has addressed the scuffle between Tabor Pepper and Debo Samuel.
I didn't initially. I mean, after the game and stuff, I didn't think it was too big of a deal. But, you know, after getting home and seeing it all on SportsCenter and everything and all that stuff, I wanted to make sure I did and talk to the guys about it, talk to a number of guys on the team, and we squashed it and we're good.
Okay, so yes, didn't think he was going to have to. Then he was like, oh, I think we need to have a little chat. They do. They squash it. Listen to this one, though. Is he satisfied now on where the situation is?
Oh, yeah, totally. I think it was a little bit overreaction. And, I don't think, you know, you never want Debo to throw a baby punch or anything on anybody on our own team. But Debo also wasn't saying anything bad to Jake like it sounded. He was meeting him on the field, telling him to lock in. You know, the same thing I'll tell to an offensive player is just drop some balls or meet some penalties or something. You never sit there and belittle anybody or try to embarrass anyone. You try to challenge guys that you believe in, and a way of that's how we speak to each other and telling someone they need to focus and lock in because we know you can do this. And I like Pep's intentions on it. I mean, he's got his kickers back, but I think he kind of interpreted wrong what Debo was doing to him and overreacted a little bit. And Debo didn't like that and got him out of his face, and that's really about where it ended.
Okay, how does that grab you? Because that certainly sounds to me like Kyle Shanahan is saying Debo was fine and Tabor overreacted.
I don't know if he said that. He said it's good that he had his kickers back, and maybe that Tabor misinterpreted what Debo was saying. That's what I heard Kyle say. And, you know, we don't really know what Debo said. But again, I would like to see another example of Debo putting another player in check in that fashion. And, you know, Kyle said that in the first bite you played, how, you know, Debo, I think he's used the word overreacted, or he might have overreacted. And you never want to show anybody up, but you do that to players that you believe in. And Kyle said, you know, we talk like that to each other mm-hmm. all the time. We tell each other to lock in and all the rest of it. But what he said that also struck me is that you never want to show anybody up. And to me, going on the field to talk to a kicker is showing him up. Now, could he have waited until he came to the sideline to tell him to lock in? Absolutely. But he didn't. And by going out on the field, to me, is showing the kicker up.
Yeah, I don't see it that way. I see where you're coming from. But again, we have no idea that this even happened if Tabor Pepper doesn't start screaming at him. Like, that's my view. We never, like, I really do think stuff like this happens a lot on football sidelines. Let's go to Drew in San Jose. Hey, Drew, you're on with Willard and Dibs. What's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to chime in on this really quickly here, and like the comments by Kyle Shanahan that you pointed out just now, they're actually pretty you know, related to what I'm about to talk about. So Tabor Pepper, he had a AMA on Reddit, and this is a while ago. This is when he was playing with the Giants, so it was definitely a while ago. But one of the questions on the AMA was, what would tip you off the most, right? And then Tabor answered, if you go at my kicker or punter, all bets are off. And yeah, I mean, that when I saw that, like, earlier this morning, that sort of struck me, like, wait a second, maybe this isn't so much about Debo and Moody. Yeah, the way Debo came at Moody might have gotten the headlines, but what did Tabor say? And I just wanted to bring that up. And it was funny, right before the call, the comments from Kyle came in that sort of alluded to that. So I found that really, really interesting. So maybe the question is not what Debo said or what Moody said. Maybe it's what Tabor said.
Well, I mean, Drew, thanks. Like, to me, this is just normal human interaction. We all have biases. Tabor is admitting right there in what you're saying, and I think he has even since then, Tabor is part of a small subgroup on the 49ers. Those are his people. So he's going to have his kickers back. So he got overly emotional about that side of it. Debo, I guess you could argue, maybe got over emotional about it from his perspective. That's how arguments happen. I do think that when you listen to Kyle Shanahan talk, when he starts saying things like, that's how we talk to each other, and maybe Tabor misinterpreted it, you know what I mean? Again, they're part of sort of a subsection within the team. And so maybe they're not as used to it. But that's why I kind of take issue with this idea that, well, we've never seen Debo do this. I bet it happens all the time. I don't know, the same way you don't, because I'm not there. But my sense on football sidelines is that this kind of talk to one another is not rare at all. And Debo
on sidelines. This is not on the sidelines.
That doesn't matter
it
in this case.
Matter.
It doesn't. You
For
only,
me, it matters.
But you only saw it because Tabor freaked out.
I saw it on the broadcast.
No,
you could
didn't.
See Debo
saw,
come out.
But you had no idea. You could have asked him what he wanted for dinner.
Yeah, because that's what you're going to do. You're going to come off the sideline
Dibs.
And say, hey, Jake,
no,
what do you want for dinner?
I'm exaggerating because your point doesn't work. It's not showing him up just by going out there.
You could look at the All-22 and see him come out and beeline, and like, why are you gonna go out there and tell him, hang in there and pat him on the
rump? Showing someone up because he walked out on the field to talk to someone?
You're not talking to somebody, you're basically
but you have no
you're
idea.
Shouting at him to tell him to lock
but
in.
You didn't know that.
That's what Kyle said. He said
you
so.
Wouldn't know that except for the Tabor freaked out.
You would know it if you looked at the All-22, which I haven't. You could see it. How many other players came off the sideline after the missed field goal?
But you wouldn't know what he said. It's not showing him up because you wouldn't know that anything abnormal is happening at all.
So you're putting this on Tabor Pepper for reacting.
I am. Do you want me to play Kyle Shanahan again?
You can play Kyle the rest of the show. I'm asking you. It seems like you're blaming Tabor Pepper because he reacted. That's why this is a thing.
I will say this again. Debo Samuel probably came with a little bit too much emotion. But to then react the way that Tabor Pepper did is not just an equal, even more of an overly emotional reaction, in my opinion, because I do not believe something like this to be rare at all. And I actually don't believe it to be out of place. Like,
well, Tabor Pepper thought it was out of place.
Of course, because it's no different than the way we act with our kids. Like, Tabor is sort of like, he's biased toward his kicker. That's his guy. He's there to protect his kicker. It's like an offensive lineman when a quarterback gets touched in a way that they don't like. They freak out. That's their guy. But so it's not to excuse anyone or take sides. It's simply a matter of, I think this is the way it goes on football sidelines. It's very emotional. And by the way, all of us who are like bothered by Debo, we were yelling the same thing he did at our TVs. Like, what's more offensive here? Debo getting mad or your kicker missing three kicks? Dog, make the kick. You're a pro.
Right, but we don't have that same energy when our quarterback throws a third interception. I mean, you don't go over to the quarterback and tell him, dude, lock in.
Yes,
and if you do. You do it on the sideline.
Yes, you do it wherever you do it.
You don't walk out on the field.
I literally just said that's what they do.
Right. To each other, but
yes.
Not on the field where you show somebody up.
Like that one got you. That just doesn't bother me.
It bothers me because you're a receiver and you're going up to a kicker who legitimately, I would assume that the kicker's trying to make the kick. Can we agree that he's trying to make the kick?
Trying doesn't matter.
Trying is all you can do is try.
No, like you got to do, dude. Like we get mad at people in football or any sport, just no matter what they're trying to do.
You bring different energy for different players. And I would love to see another example, and if you can find one, I would love to backtrack off the point where Debo Samuel is this animated to another player over their mistake.
You've never seen Kyle go
I've
like...
I've never seen Debo Samuel. I'm talking about Debo. This is not Kyle. Kyle didn't go up to the kicker. Kyle didn't go on the field and berate the
Kyle
kicker.
Kyle walked away, mother bleeping every single thing that he could.
Exactly.
And actually, I'd argue once again, we don't know what Kyle said to Jake.
You have no idea.
He may very well have done
that.
All
we know is what Debo did, and that for me was way out of bounds. And I'm stunned.
Francis in Oakland. Hey, Francis, thanks for calling.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Dibs, what is going on, man? It is his job. It is Debo's job as the captain of the team to inspire his team. Inspire might not be the wrong word, but
yeah,
the reality
is the wrong word.
It is. But, well, look, Kyle does not do this stuff. Kyle goes on record as talking about how Trent Williams and Debo Samuel fire up the team with the boombox and all that stuff. They're the emotional leaders of the team. The fact that he went on the field is just passion. That's just being excited, fired up, irritated, frustrated, and caring about the game because the guy missed three field goals. I mean, the coach of the team regularly goes on any NFL sideline, steps a few feet onto the field when he's passionate about a call that the team didn't get, or he's frustrated about the team not doing well. Going on the field is not a factor here. I have a question for you. Who are you defending by saying that he's not actually helping, like, Moody? Like, are you defending Moody? Because Moody is a football player. These kickers actually want to be accepted on the team as part of the rest of this group of guys who are growing out there, and they're out on Kicker Island. Are you going to defend him and say that he needs to get special treatment, that he can't take the headbutts and all the yelling and the locking in stuff? Because he just needed it. He missed three kicks.
And so, Francis, you're saying that that is what motivated him to make the next kick? The fact that his leader, who is, by the way, not the captain of the special teams, he's the captain of the offense, is that what motivated him to make the next kick, in your opinion?
Debo is the captain of the Niners. Debo is the heart and soul of the Niners. That's all that matters. And last I checked, the special teams is on part of the Niners. So, yes. Look, have you ever played sports before?
Yeah,
have
Francis.
You ever heard somebody
many years,
say,
Francis.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, get your ass together, man. Like, come on. Like, you've heard that before. Nothing else is working. Would you rather that they just drop him, they cut him?
No, I would rather have him do it off the field and not do it in a confrontational way that promoted or provoked, rather, the long snapper to react in that fashion. Clearly, he did it in a way that offended the long snapper.
But our reactions, Francis, thank you. We want to get some more people in. And by the way, tickets to tomorrow night's Warriors game, less than 10 minutes away. I guess my thing to add there would be, like, why isn't Tabor a part of that conversation? Our reactions are our responsibility, and you are saying that Debo's reaction was an overreaction, and if we accept that, why can we not also say it's possible that Tabor overreacted?
Oh, it's definitely possible.
We literally have the head coach of the team saying that on tape.
And then his reaction, which may have been an overreaction, provoked Debo to then put his hands, swing with an open hand at Tabor Pepper. If you want to go to the scorecard.
This is an emotional thing, man. This is football, and their season is slipping away.
Well,
like, that's what it was. In that moment, it felt like the season is slipping away.
You still have the lead in the game.
That's not the point.
It's not the end of a game.
Like, you're staring down a 4-5 record. Like, with trips.
You still have the lead, so it's not like, I mean, I could understand it a little bit more if it was like the last second kick and you lost the game because of it. You still had the lead. And Debo was frustrated, and part of his frustration, I would guess, was over their own offensive lack of productivity.
No doubt.
Get in the end zone, you don't have to worry about Jake Moody missing kicks.
I mean, come on, man. If we're all going to love that word as much as we do, accountability, we cannot be so scared of somebody talking to the kicker when he's having a disastrous day, a disastrous performance.
There are ways to do it, and that was not the correct way to do it, in my opinion.
That's a fair opinion, but the coach of the 49ers just said, quote, "This is how we talk to each other." That's a direct quote. Dane in Richmond is next up. Hi, Dane. Thanks for calling.
Hi, guys. First time, long time. Enjoy your program very
much. Thanks, Dane. Thank you.
I played Division I college sports for 4 years, and I can tell you this is not uncommon. It happens all the time. The only difference here is this was caught on camera, and it happened right there on the sideline. Normally, this behavior happens in the locker room. but it is very common, and I wasn't surprised to see it. This is the way that players keep others in check, and it happened to me, it happened to others, and I thought it was a little bit over the top what Deebo Samuel did, but it I guess the results seemed to work. But yeah, I saw it many times.
Dane, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, look, I want to be very, very clear here. I'm not a big fan of Tabor getting shoved in the side of the head. I'm not a fan of that. I'm not saying anybody just crushed this and someone else is 100% in the wrong. I don't really think that's the way these situations work. I don't even necessarily know how perfect or imperfect this particular one was. I just don't think that this is outside the norm. My God, a tight end chest bumped his Hall of Fame head coach in the Super Bowl, and they haven't lost a football game in a year. But, like, that happened. That happened in the Super Bowl. Travis Kelce, like, literally made contact with Andy Reid. There is no more emotional environment than a football sideline. So, like, my thing isn't, like, is it okay? Is it not okay? I just think this happens a lot. I think it happens a lot. The only reason we know on this one is because one person took the emotions to a really high level, and then the response from the other person was to shove him in the head.
Yeah.
So we got to see it. And those things are not a good look.
That's not unusual when you've got teammates going after other teammates, but you don't often see, and I'm trying to rack my brain for an example where a star player goes onto the field to basically berate the kicker, and in a game where you're still winning. And, you know, for me, when it comes to leadership, and everyone can lead in their own ways, and I've never been a part of a high-level football team, and I know that things are conducted very differently in pro sports, especially in pro football, but true leadership would be handling that behind, not maybe behind closed doors, but certainly not on the field. And you can handle it in another way other than going onto the field to tell a kicker exactly how you feel about his bad performance.
I just don't think we've got enough evidence to say that this isn't like the norm. This is how these guys hold each other accountable. Kyle Shanahan just said that today. He did make the next kick. So, like, that's sort of a fair response. Like, what's the problem? Who got hurt here? What's the awful thing that happens because of this?
I think that Debo's reputation takes a little bit of a hit.
Really? With who?
With some fans, me in particular.
Well,
I mean, I look at that outburst, and that's the way you're going to lead. That makes me think a little bit less of his leadership.
Okay.
If that's what you're going to do in a moment where you've got a guy who's clearly not feeling good about how he's doing, missing a third kick in a game that should have been over, in a game where it's a kick that puts you up six, and that's how you're going to lead? I know football is a tough guy sport, but that to me is not leadership. That is, that's not what I'm looking for in terms of my leader.
Let's do one more real quick. Pete in San Ramon. Hi, Pete. Thanks for calling.
Hey guys. Thanks for taking my call this afternoon.
Yeah.
Hope y'all are well.
We're good, man.
Okay, I'll admit right up front, I got one big but. I'm fine with all the emotion and jumping around and yelling that y'all are talking about. That's all great, but the hands-on is the problem I have, and that's something that's wrong with our whole world. And that's what I got.
All right, Pete, thanks. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. It's not a good look in the end where teammates are shoving each other in the head. I don't know that anybody loves that look, especially when it's your favorite team. Okay, Steve Kerr in 20 minutes. We still got Fade the Dibbers. We got a lot to do here with the remainder of the show. Plenty more of your phone calls, 888-957-9570. But here comes the phone call that we care about right now. You want to win a pair of tickets to tomorrow's game? Klay Thompson back in town, Warriors, Mavs. You're going to get the captain's hat. You're going to salute Klay with the captain's hat. You can be a part of this crowd and all of the big things that are going to happen tomorrow night. All you got to do is be the first to answer the following trivia question about Klay on the contest line. Don't call the contest line yet. I can see a lot of you are not following directions. But we're not answering any calls until after I finish reading the question, okay? So nobody's answering any calls yet. The number, though, that you're going to need is 415-523-4652. 415-523-4652. The question you need to answer is this. Klay Thompson made a single game NBA record 14 three-pointers on October 29th, 2018 versus which team?
Mm.
You know, right? You
I
know.
Do. Yeah, yeah. This is my question.
It's a great question.
It is your question. I was in the meeting.
That's a really good question, Dibs.
The NBA record 14 three-pointers October 29, 2018 versus which team? First person to get the right answer at 415-523-4652 is the winner. Again, Klay Thompson, 14 three-pointers, NBA record October 29, 2018 versus which team? 415-523-4652. Okay? Good luck. Good luck. If you don't win the tickets, we're giving away Klay Thompson Warriors jerseys tomorrow. Listen at 8 a.m., 12 noon, and 4 p.m. to win. And we're putting on the Klay Carnival at Thrive City. We'll be broadcasting live before the game. So stay locked in for all those details to find out how you can win. Starting at 4 p.m. today, your chance to win your jerseys tomorrow. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Steve Kerr is in 18 minutes. Fade the Dibbers. You want to get Grandy's grades in, too? We can probably run through Grandy's grades, right?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. That's all coming up on Willard and Dibs.
Dub Nation, it's Kevon Looney. Catch my head coach, Steve Kerr, with Riddler and Dibs each and every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Chicago, people!
Chicago!
The Chicago Bulls!
Yeah! Brad in San
Jose. Brad in San Jose.
He knew.
Nice job, Brad.
Attaboy, Brad.
His name is Brad.
Brad.
And he's going to be at the game tomorrow. And Brad, better come see us now.
Gotta come
John
by.
Sally.
Yeah. Better come see us.
Brad in San Jose.
And better come get tickets to the Klay Carnival, which are free,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
You just come in there, just mess around, make a paper
holy
airplane.
Cannoli. Yeah. It's crazy.
Throw it at Dibs.
Director of Sports is excited for his carnival.
It should be.
The Klay Carnival. It's going to
be
fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all on you, Lucas. You're like the quarterback of this. So. You're either going to get all the credit or all the blame.
And I'll tell you what, if the carnival's no pressure, not going though. Well, I'm going to barge out onto the field and berate you. And you know God. What, Mark? Oh, that's going to work. That's going to make him get his carnival ship shape and top notch.
True or false, it has gotten loud between hosts at this station off of the air. True or false?
Like today or in general?
No, at times.
True.
Okay.
Between, true. Let me think, you and me, check. Me and Steiny.
Check.
You and Steiny.
Check one way, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to put anybody else's business out there, but there have been me and everybody, quite frankly.
I mean.
Me and Goo.
Okay. At true
me
or
and
false?
Butcher.
True or false?
Not me and Bonte.
True or false?
Turns out it's me, Grandy. Who knew? Don't you ding that. Don't you ding that.
I'm not going for the ding.
I'm fading that pick, but anyway.
I'm going for this.
I'm angry, Jeff.
Yeah.
That's awesome, yeah.
That's often.
And true or false, it happens sometimes right out in front of everybody to see.
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, but... It's not the same as going onto the field, and I'm looking at a still
no,
picture
we're
right now.
No, dorky radio hosts. We got nobody's hitting anybody. What do you got?
I've got
what
a picture of Debo going on the field, and last I checked, Debo, you don't play defense, and when a kicker misses a kick, the only people who need to go on the field are your defense, because your defense has to play.
This wasn't a need situation. It was a want. I'm freely admitting that. Again, direct quote, Kyle Shanahan... Tabor overreacted a little bit. It's a direct quote.
Oh, Tabor overreacted.
Yes.
Not Debo.
Kyle Shanahan. Quote.
Tabor Pepper after the game. We know what our job is. We got us.
Yeah.
In other words, we don't need you, Debo. We got us.
I would take issue with that. I would take issue with that. You don't get to insulate yourself because what you guys are doing affects the whole group. So if you want to be part of the whole group, you're part of the whole group.
So then can Jake, let's just say that Debo has a drop. Can Jake go out on the field to Debo and say, lock in?
He can, but the culture of football right. ain't going to go well for him.
Well, the culture of this, I don't think goes well either.
And that's, well, I think it does. You know what I mean? Again, you can be offended by this, but this is the culture of a football locker room. Jake Moody ain't on Debo's level. Because Jake Moody doesn't hit anybody. He doesn't run through anybody.
He does, actually. Well, Jake Moody's out there trying.
Whoops. But anyway.
He was trying to lock in. Yeah. Isn't that what Debo wanted?
No, he wants him to make his kicks.
Right. Right.
Again, I'm not calling that part of it fair, but you and I damn well both know the culture of an NFL team. And you're not having kickers screaming at battering rams. You just, that won't work. Is that fair? I don't know. Probably not.
It's the nature of it.
That's life.
Well, that's life. We have a pecking order here at the station, and there are certain things that some people can say and do that other people can't. Similarly.
I mean, that's probably true in every spot, isn't it?
I'm sure a lot of companies, yeah.
Yeah, if or you're even houses.
If you're working in the mailroom, you probably don't knock on the CEO's door and say, hey, what's up with our stock? Our stock price is in the toilet, boss. How about you get things in order? How about you lock in? How's that going to go for you, mailroom clerk?
I don't know, but I would love to find out.
I might try that here.
Do we have a mailroom? We don't have a mailroom, do we?
We have a bin that sits out in the lobby.
I've actually worked in a mailroom before. It was at Cal Poly at the admissions office.
Yeah.
I got fired.
Yeah, because you probably told somebody to lock in.
No, I lied.
That's a great story.
I lied.
Wish we had time for it.
I lied to my boss. I took off early. And gave myself all the hours that I was supposed to get,
boy.
But I left early and I got caught.
That's fraud.
Yeah. I deserved it.
Defrauding a government.
I deserved it.
Yeah.
Accountability. I didn't try to take it that day.
How'd they catch you?
Because I've said that I was going down to there's another office and we're going down there. Somebody needed some work down there. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go down there. And I just went home. And then apparently there was some communication between the two offices.
Yeah.
And they're like,
let's go to Mark.
Is Mark down there helping you? No. No.
Oh, but he put in for 4 more hours today.
That's weird. I wonder where he went. Yeah. So
Go on. Wow.
So, Steve Kerr is going to join us in 6 minutes.
Looking forward to it.
And Mark Grandy is over here with his grades, and they keep getting pushed because of the emotional conversation where everybody is overreacting. However, I am thinking, you know, we would have time for grades after Steve Kerr. So there's plenty of time still in the show after Steve Kerr. So we could do that, Mark. But you know what we need to do right now that we can't do after Steve Kerr?
What's that?
Fade the Devers.
It's time for
Fade the Devers.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it. You make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're back under 500, which is a comfortable place to be. It means that you have an opportunity out there to make money. Dibs took the Niners -6.5.
Oh,
I don't know
God.
If you saw the game. They did not cover. You should be madder at Jake Moody than you are. But anyway, we've moved on to the Monday night game, which, by the way, if you've got Tyreek Hill, he's in. So your fantasy lineups are safe there. But is your pick safe? Only one way to find out. The Rams are -2.5 against the visiting Mike McDaniels. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Dan Dibley.
It's a tough one. This is not a game that I necessarily love, but it's a primetime game, so we pick it anyway. Something about this Ram team has been impressive, ? They continue to find a way to get it done, and the Rams are at home, ? Not a really good home field advantage, but this team, despite being injured for a time, they have found a way to get it done and still win games. So it's kind of a hold-your-nose special, but we're going to root for the home team. We're taking the Rams and laying the 2. Goo-goosh!
2 or 2.5? I was told 2.5 by the voices in my head.
Yeah, 2.5.
Okay,
2.5.
That's fine.
Okay.
All right.
So I don't want them to win 20-18
no.
And then you come in with a push.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was
just saying.
I'm looking at ESPN, they have it at 2, but yeah, 2.5. That's fine. No push possibility.
No, it's always great to bet on the Rams because sometimes Sean McVay is not trying to win the game. He's just trying to cover the spread.
Yeah, but he's so, favored here, so.
It's very difficult to do.
Very tough to do.
But anyway, okay, Rams minus 2.5 in this one.
So I'm one game below 500, is that right?
That's one under, right?
Fading you, you're 16 and 15. So
okay, yeah. If you fade me, 15, so I'm 15 and 16. So
Dolphins plus 2.5.
And I won't call yesterday a bad beat because there was nothing that fluky that happened to cause that to not be a cover. But when you look at that game and the way I thought that game would go, that's the way I thought that game would go. Tampa did very little offensively. They don't have much to do offensively. And if it wasn't for the Niners being pretty bad in the red zone again and missing three field goals, if that doesn't happen, then the Niners probably cover. So I feel good about the pick, even though it lost.
I would think, yeah. Although, as I argued, to no avail last Thursday night, the game was over with the Ravens winning by 7, but officials did not want to overturn their own incorrect call, which allowed the Bengals to come down and score a covering, not a game-winning, but touchdown at the end of that game. So from the files of Life Always Evens Out, we'll call that one a draw last week.
Sure. And, you know, that's the problem with betting on the 49ers right now is, you know, you can't really trust them. And similarly, it's kind of how I feel about betting Warrior games because that game yesterday against OKC is one that would be a scheduled loss in that Oklahoma City's really good. It's the end of a long road trip, and you've already done really well on the trip. Those are games that you normally lose, yet the Warriors didn't get the memo, and they went out there and they took a 2 OKC for the majority of that ball game.
Right, and obviously knocked out one of their best players, and I don't know how many of you have gotten the news today, but he's going to be out a long time. Chet Holmgren is not even going to be sort of like reevaluated for probably a couple of months. And so I don't think we're seeing Chet Holmgren until 2025. And I'm not saying this is a good thing by any stretch, but that changes Oklahoma City. That changes them big time in terms of who they are in the Western Conference. I don't care what you blew in Houston and Oklahoma City. You cannot break a stride with the way the Warriors have started this season. This is unbelievable. For them to be 8-2, performing the way they are, having played a number of games without Steph Curry, to go on a road trip in a 3-game set, I don't care who was available for the other teams. I don't care. At the end of a road trip, to go Boston, Cleveland, Oklahoma City, and go 2-1? Are you kidding me? This is as real as it gets.
No doubt.
The Warriors are a thing.
They're the real deal. And then tomorrow you get the emotional return of Klay Thompson in a Mavericks team they're not playing with desperation yet, but they're starting to get a little itchy about getting some wins here.
Well, I think I listened to Jason Kidd this morning on Bonte and Joe on The Roast, which you can check out, Odyssey App or YouTube. And it was interesting to hear him talk about, it's always the way coaches sound whenever things are not sort of going as well as you thought maybe they would. I mean, the Mavericks are coming off of an NBA Finals appearance and then, quote, got better. They got Klay Thompson, Greg Popovich on opening night. I can't believe the league let this team get Klay Thompson. Are you kidding me? Sort of insinuating that they'd be unbeatable. Well, they're 5-5, and Jason's starting to do the whole, well, it's early, we're feeling each other out, we're learning some things about one another. And I'm not saying all of that's not true, but I don't think the Mavericks are playing up to the level that they had hoped they would look right out of the gate, and the Warriors are the opposite. You know, the Warriors have overachieved. They've done even more than anybody could have hoped to start this season. So I like the timing of this. I like the positioning of this. It's just going to be a matter of who sort of also navigates their way through what will clearly be a unique set of emotions in the building tomorrow night.
I think so, and, you know, Steph is going to grab the microphone and speak to the crowd and say some really nice things about Klay, and I'm sure there'll be some emotional bro hugs, and I'm looking forward to the initial pre-tip exchange when, you know, you get the starters out there and it'll be Steph and Draymond and Klay dapping each other up, and then once the ball goes up and you get underway, all of that emotional, like, Klay homecoming and all the rest of it, it mostly goes away.
Mostly, except for, I mean, it'll be a different sound every time he lets it fly.
Yeah.
That's going, you know what I mean? The fans, are there, there's going to be an awareness of where he is and what he's doing the whole night.
So if Clay hits a three, the crowd...
I don't know.
The crowd cheers?
They're not going to boo. They're not going to boo the guy. But it's gonna, it'll be a different sound than if Kyrie makes one.
Fair. You know? I'm just wondering what that, what that's going to be like.
We're
when
gonna, we're going
to
find out.
First possession, they kick it out to Clay for just three and just...
Salute him. Just hold your hat up.
Yeah.
Once. Not if he makes two, three, four, or five.
Yeah.
You can do it once. And then I think you got to move on.
And it's a doff of the cap. We're going to remove our caps.
But that's at the intro.
Right.
Then you could do whatever you want with it after that.
Well, just as long as it doesn't fly. Keep that hat from being
airborne. Don't throw the hats.
Yeah.
Because, well, mainly because then you won't have the hat anymore.
And you won't be able to still watch the game.
Yeah, keep the hat. Why would you do anything different, all right? You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.